Reminder, coming up at 8:21 this morning, it's our monthly Greenwich Real Estate Report with Stacy Lowe, John McAtee joining me. WGCH News Center time is 7:51 and third Thursday of each month, joined by State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich. Senator, good morning. Welcome. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony. I'm great. How are you?
Okay, and I want to talk to you about the Safer CT plan unveiled by Republicans. Tell us what this is all about, what it addresses.
Well, Tony, we believe that we have a major public safety crisis in this state right now. In 2020, homicides rose 31% across Connecticut, and car thefts rose 41%, and a lot of those car thefts are now turning violent and creating greater chaos in our state. In 2020, car thefts actually rose in excess of 100% in Greenwich. So clearly we have a problem, and state leadership has a responsibility to fix it. So we, as Senate Republicans, unveiled a pretty comprehensive three-part plan to try to address the crime wave in Connecticut. The first part is criminal justice reforms that are really focused especially on the car theft crisis. So a lot of these car thefts are being committed by gang members who are older teenagers, who are being conscripted into these gangs. And we think that if we reform some of the criminal justice laws, and put a little bit more teeth into things, that we can deter a lot of that crime. The second part is to an improvement in our social services more broadly that are aimed at creating more jobs, mentorship, better social programs in order to build social capital and hopefully, again, rehabilitate a lot of people in our society who might otherwise be drawn into a life of crime. And the third part is proactive policing reforms. We think that the police bill that was passed and rushed last summer in 2020 has contributed to a wave of more shootings, more homicides, and other types of crime. And we think that if we untie the hands of police and do more proactive policing in Connecticut, that we could create greater public safety, reduce the shootings, reduce the homicides, and hopefully create a little bit more hope and optimism in our state.
Okay, and are you in favor of allowing 14-year-olds to get transferred to adult court for violent crimes?
Yes, so these would be for felonies, and this is part of our, this is one of the aspects of our plan. So a teenager who would commit a felony in this case would be transferred to the normal criminal docket, but they would almost always be given youthful offender status. So they would have a kind of separate avenue within the criminal justice system than an adult, but the juvenile system basically has no teeth to it. So there's currently a 14-year-old, for instance, who's being tried for murder, committed a murder locally in Fairfield County. Under the juvenile system, you know, he'll basically at most be given a year and a half in some sort of juvenile facility. There's very, very little recourse. In New Britain, a month ago, there was a 17-year-old who stole a car, ran over a pedestrian, and killed him. That was the 13th time he had been arrested in 3 years. So there's no institutionalization under the juvenile system for someone like that 17-year-old who's allowed still to get arrested 13 times and just catch and release over and over again. By transferring some of these older teenagers to the youthful offender part of our justice system, we actually can have recourse for people who are committing several felonies. So it would only be after the third felony under our plan that they would even be transferred to the youthful offender status. But under the current law, after the 2018 juvenile justice reforms, the problem is that there's absolutely no recourse that the state or society has for some of these older teenagers who are committing felony after felony and being drawn into a life of crime, frankly. I think we have no deterrent. We have no deterrence under our current juvenile justice laws, and it's creating incentive for these gangs to conscript their teenagers into lives of crime. So So I think it's more compassionate if we have a system where there's some amount of recourse and some amount of deterrence for vulnerable teenagers.
Does it address the wide range of things that it could be, from hardened criminals, even if they're of a young age, to joyrider types of things that may not be as serious, although they can result in serious situations? You have a wide spectrum of that. Can this address all those?
Yes, I totally think so, Tony, because it gives, under our plan, it gives more discretion to the court system. Currently, the problem is that hardened criminals, 17-year-old hardened criminal like the fellow who ran over a pedestrian after stealing his 13th car a month ago, there's absolutely no recourse, basically, under this system for someone like that. But under a system where we transfer more of the older teenagers who, again, commit several felonies to the youthful offender status, the court system would then have leeway to determine whether this is a case that should just have probation, even after several felony arrests, and a greater focus on rehabilitation, or whether there needs to be some sort of institutionalization and incapacitation of the person who's a criminal. So we want the discretion for the justice system. The problem is that the present system has basically no leeway, no room for the judgment of the prosecutors and the judges to take one avenue or another for a given offender.
And then finally, what would be the fate of this with Republicans in the minority on this kind of action?
Yeah, important question. So we tried to be as practical and common sense as possible. We don't think these are ideological reforms. We think that these make sense. We think that it's common sense that someone who commits 13 felonies shouldn't be caught and released each of those 13 times to commit them over and over again. We don't think that's compassionate or good for society or good for even the offender. So we think these are common sense. I do think that several of them will, it's a pretty comprehensive proposal. And listeners could go to Senate Republican website or SenatorFazio.com to read about it. I do think that there's several aspects that the Democrats in the state legislature will be willing to take up, whether it's on the social programs or on some of the information gathering and sharing, like fingerprinting for some of the teenage offenders or GPS monitoring for repeat offenders. We actually, me and the state representative Tom O'Day from New Canaan, met with the police commission and police commissioner in New Canaan, and also State Senator Haskell and State Senator Representative Lucy Dathan, who are both Democrats, and shared our ideas, and they were pretty frank about ideas that they agree with and don't agree with. I wish they agreed with more, but they do agree with some, and we appreciate that, and so we're hopeful that at least some of the provisions could hopefully be adopted. We want a special session. We think this should be done as soon as possible. It's probably more likely that the Democratic leadership just waits till the regular session next year. So we're going to hope for the best, and we're going to try our best to bring Democrats and Republicans together and implement as many of these practical reforms as possible.
All right, Senator Fazio, thanks very much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it, and we'll talk again next month.
Thanks again, Tony. Have a great one.
You too. That is State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich joins us the third Thursday of each month. WGCH.